Now, we're going to have our Bibles open now. So, boys and girls, everything you need is going to be up here. Grown-ups, if you need a Bible, please put a hand in the air. One of our welcome team would love to bring you one. We're this morning going to be starting to look at a book of the Bible called Ezra. Can you say Ezra? One, two, three. Ezra. And grown-ups, you'll find that on page 472. We're actually going to have a very, very short Bible reading this morning, which we're going to look at in just a few moments from Ezra chapter 9. I'm just going to try and move the slide on quickly so we bring this up. Now, here's a bit of a question. It's a bit tricky. We're going to be spending Sunday mornings from now all the way through to the summer looking at this book of the Bible called Ezra. Now, Ezra is a really old book, okay? It's about 2,500 years old. So, boys and girls, will you open up Ezra and will you blow the dust off? Because it is an ancient, ancient book of the Bible. And it tells us a story. Now, this is cheating a bit because I guess some of you haven't read the book of Ezra. But have you got any ideas what Ezra might be about? Any ideas, Nate? God? You come and do the sermon, Nate. Come on, that's brilliant. Absolutely right. Now, you would expect with a title like Ezra, wouldn't you, that it would be all about a person called Ezra. And actually, we do meet Ezra halfway through the book, and he's a pretty good guy. He's a Bible teacher, and he helps God's people lots. But actually, the book of Ezra isn't really about Ezra. It's about, as Nathan told us, it's about God. And I want to show you, before we read a verse from the Bible, that actually the book of Ezra is really a story. It is a story of God's kindness. Let's see if we can hang this up. Can you say that with me? It's a story of God's kindness. That's what the book of Ezra is all about. And I want to show you from some words of Ezra, which I'm going to put up on the screen, Ezra chapter 9, verse 9, Ezra himself tells us the story, what it's all about, and how it's a story of God's kindness. So let me read it to you. Ezra chapter 9 and verse 9. He says this, though we are slaves, and by the way, boys and girls, when we get to the word kindness, can you say it nice and loud with me, okay? So though we are slaves, Ezra says, our God has not forsaken us in our bondage. That means our slavery. He has shown us kindness in the sight of the kings of Persia. He's granted us new life to rebuild the house of our God and repair its ruins. And he has given us a wall of protection in Judah and Jerusalem. The book of Ezra, which tells us a story of God's kindness, really tells us the story of what I want to call ruins to repair. Now, let me use those two words. Those are words perhaps you don't use very often, but we've got this word ruins. Can you say that with me? Ruins. And we're going to need an action for that. So maybe something like, bleh. Can you do that with me? Bleh. Ruins. So think of a castle ruins. Think of something that's all smashed up, maybe a pile of rubble. The book of Ezra is a story of ruins. Bleh. All the way to a story of, can we do an action like this? Repair. So can we say this with me on time? The story of Ezra, a story of ruins, to repair. And it's a story of God's kindness. Now, let me try and help you to think about this idea of ruins to repair for a moment. So me and Levi and Zebby, we love to play Lego at home. Anyone else like to play Lego here? There's a few of the grown-ups nodding as well. It's something that you never grow up from, really. Now, we had built the other day this magnificent dragon. Now, I know this isn't the dragon. You just have to pretend this is the dragon. We had built this amazing dragon at home, and it was amazing. We were doing Ninjago with it, and we were smashing it, and whoa, we were doing great things. But then it was time to tidy up. So Emma had called us, and she said, it's time for tea, boys. So we decided we'd tidy up everything, and we put the dragon on the shelf. The problem is we didn't put it on the shelf properly. And our Lego dragon fell to the floor and it became ruins. Ugh. Now I'm gonna need that piece of Lego back if that's all right. Thank you very much. So it was just a pile of bricks. It was a big mess. And we were all looking at this dragon like, What a mess. It's all in ruins. So what do you think we did? What do you think we did? We built it again. In fact, we could use the word, we repaired it. We started to take the bricks and we put them back together. I don't even know how this is going to go back together. But let's imagine we started to build the dragon. We didn't want a ruins. We wanted a Lego dragon. We wanted to play Ninjago again. And so we turned our ruins, can you tell me, our ruins, into a dragon again. We repaired it. And that's the idea. You see, as we come to the book of Ezra today, as we start looking at this story together on Sunday mornings, what we see is a story of God's kindness turning something that is ruined, and he starts to repair it. In his kindness, in his love, he changes things around. You see, as we come to the book of Ezra, as we open the book, what we first of all see is that God's people are in ruins. So God's people were the people that God had loved, and he'd rescued them out of Egypt, and he'd called them his own special people. And as we open the book of Ezra together, can you open it up with me and blow off the dust? As we open the book of Ezra together, we meet God's people, and they are in, can you say it with me? Ruins. You see, in Ezra chapter 9, verse 9, just look at how Ezra begins. He says, though we are, what's the word? Slaves. The people of God had been taken away from their home, and they'd been carried to a land far away called Babylon. And in Babylon, big bad Babylon, they lived under the rules of big mean kings. And they had to obey these kings, and they had to work for these kings. And life was hard, and life was miserable, and life was messy. And the people of God just wanted to go home. They wanted to go back to where they lived, and they wanted things to change. The people of God were in ruins. Can you do that with me? They were in ruins. But it wasn't just the people of God that were in ruins. Because as we open the book of Ezra, we discover that God's temple was in ruins. Can you say God's temple with me? God's temple. Now look at how Ezra describes the temple. In the verse 9, grown-ups, if you've got that in front of you, he says that the temple is the house of our God. Now think about your house for a moment. Maybe you're thinking, oh yeah, I want to get home, I want to do that. Your house is your home. It's where you live. It's if people want to come and find you, it's where they come, because that's your home. And in the Bible, the temple was God's home on earth. It was the one place on earth where you could go and God would bring you forgiveness and he would hear you as you prayed. And the people of God and God lived together. God lived with them and he lived with them. Sorry, they lived with him and he lived with them. And yet as we open the book of Ezra, what we discover is that God's temple is in ruins. Blech. It's just a pile of bricks, a bit like our Lego dragon when it got smashed to pieces. It was just a big pile of rubble on the floor. And the question as you get the book of Ezra open is this. Why, when you open this book, are God's people and God's temple in ruins? Why are they all broken up? Why is it so terrible? Well, Ezra tells us. Grown-ups, you'll see this. Boys and girls, just listen in. Ezra chapter 9 and verse 7. This is what he says. From the days of our ancestors until now, our guilt has been great. They've done something wrong. They're guilty. Because of our sins, we and our kings and our priests have been subjected to the sword and to captivity, to pillage and humiliation at the hand of foreign kings as it is today. As you read the book of Ezra, the problem, the reason that they're in ruins, can you say that with me? They're in ruins, is because of their sins. Because they haven't loved God as they should have done. Because they've disobeyed the things that God asked them to do. It's because they've ignored God. And God had said to them over and over again, he'd lovingly said to the people he loves and about his temple, he said, look, if you keep disobeying me, then you're going to end up in ruins. Things are going to go badly. And that's exactly what happened. The people of God ended up in ruins. But hey, listen, I told you that the book of Ezra is a story of God's kindness. It's a story of how God, in his kindness, in his love, changes things from ruins to repair. It's a story of how God turns things around. Despite their sins, despite the fact that they've said to God, oh, we don't really want to listen to you, God hasn't forgotten them. So look at the verse on the screen again. Look at what Ezra says. Though we are slaves, our God has not forsaken us in our bondage. He hasn't forgotten about them. They're living in big bad Babylon. They're living miles away under big bad kings. But God, in his kindness, hasn't forgotten them. He still loves them. And he still wants to help them. And look how he goes on. He says, he has shown us, what does he say? Kindness in the sight of the kings of Persia. That's the kings in Babylon. And he has granted us new life to rebuild the house of our God and repair its ruins. And he's given us a wall of protection in Judah and Jerusalem. So the people that were in ruins, as we read through the book of Ezra together, what we discover is that God gives them, can you do this one with me? He gives them new life. He gives them a fresh start. We've given thanks today, haven't we, for the safe arrival of Freddie. And we've thanked God for this new life, and we've thanked God for the arrival of baby Albert. That's a very royal name, Matt, by the way, on a week of royal babies. And we've given thanks for new life, the beginnings of something new. But God, in his kindness, takes his people who are ruined, and he gives them new life. He gives them a fresh start. He forgives their sins, and he enables them to come home and to be a people again. But it's not just that the people he repairs. Actually, he also repairs the temple. So as we read through the book of Ezra, one of the things that we're going to discover, can you do repairing with me? He repairs the temple. God uses the people that he's given new life to repair his temple so that his home is built again. And we get to the end of the book of Ezra, and we've got this wonderful picture, although it does get a bit bad at the end, but we can talk about that when we get there. Actually, we get this wonderful picture towards the end of the book that God has turned their ruins into repair. They've got a new life, and they've got a new temple. And God is living with them, and they are living with God, all because of his kindness. So can we say this together? The story of Ezra is a story of ruins. To repair. And it's all because of God's kindness. So that's the story of Ezra. Okay, you with me? Can you blow the dust off? That's this ancient story that we're going to read together over the Sunday mornings. But I guess the question we've got to ask this morning is, what on earth has that got to do with us? I mean, we're not there, are we? We're not in ruins. We don't have a temple that's lying in rubble. We're not part of this story. That's 2,500 years ago. That's even older than my mum. That's amazing. It's an ancient, ancient story. So what's it got to do with us? Well, I want to show you this morning very briefly that this story of God's kindness, this mini story of ruins to repair, has something to teach us about a much, much bigger ruins to repair story. It's got something to teach us about a story that every single one of us, whether you're really little or whether you're more grown up here, every single one of us are caught up in the middle of this gigantic ruins to repair story. It's the story of our world. It's the story of the whole Bible. See, as we look at the book of Ezra, which is in the middle here, actually the whole Bible tells a ruins to repair story. See, at the very beginning of the Bible, we meet some people who are in ruins. Now, I'm going to put up a picture. Please don't laugh. It was the best picture I could find of these two people. Does anyone know who this is? There's no nudity here this morning, okay? Anyone know who these guys are? Who is it, TJ? It's Adam and Eve. So as we go to the very beginning of the Bible, which is even older than Ezra, so even more dust to blow off. Can you blow it off? Wow, it's ancient, ancient story. Even as we go all the way back to the beginning, we meet Adam and Eve, made by God, loved by God, life was good. But just like the people in Ezra, they had disobeyed God. They had decided that they didn't want to listen to God. They didn't want anything to do with his word. And so they found themselves in ruins. Ugh. Life was difficult. Life was hard, just like it is today. They didn't get on very well with each other. Life was full of hard things. Work became hard. Life was in ruins. It was miserable. They were slaves. Slaves because they'd listened to Satan rather than to God. And they found themselves doing the things Satan wanted them to do rather than the things God wanted them to do. And so life was miserable. It was in, can you say it with me? Ruins. Oh. And Adam and Eve, well, they didn't have a temple. But they did. Does anyone know what they did have? What did Adam and Eve have? The garden. They did have the garden. And the garden was like God's home on earth. It was the place where God walked with them and talked with them. And they enjoyed friendship with God. But as Adam and Eve sinned, as Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they were sent away from God's home. And they were in, can you say this with me? They were in ruins. Blah. Life was tough. But actually, as we read the story of the Bible, and this is where I hope it's going to get exciting for us. As we read the story of the Bible, we begin to read the story of God's kindness. We begin to see the story that's unfolding around us, the story that we are all caught up in the middle of how God, in his kindness, is turning our ruins into repair, how he's putting things together again. It's his kindness to change the mess that we've got ourselves into. And do you know what God's doing in his kindness? He is giving people like us new life, just like he gave to them. He is giving people a fresh start. He sent Jesus into the world. You see, at the center of this magnificent ruins to repair story stands God's kindness to us in sending Jesus into this world. Jesus is God's kindness to us. And Jesus is the one who gives us new life. He gives us a fresh start. He forgives all the things we've done wrong. And he enables us to be put back together again. And not only does he promise us new life in his kindness as we read the Bible, but he promises us a place in his home. So his home today is the church. God lives among his people. And one day, as we get to the end of the Bible story, he promises us a place in his forever home, which is the new heavens and the new earth. You see, we're stuck in the middle of this story. I'm going to put some words up from the New Testament, which I hope will help become this clear, okay? Now, this is a long reading, but I want to show you that it's right there in the pages of the Bible. At one time, Paul says to a man named Titus, at one time, we too were foolish, we were disobedient, we were deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. We may not even know what half those words mean, but what does it mean? We were in ruins. That's what life is like. That's what our world's like. We are in ruins. Blah. But listen to how the verse of the Bible goes on. But when the kindness, can you say that word with me? When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, that's Jesus, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we've done, not because there's anything good about us, but because of his kindness, his mercy. Now, what would we say? So if this is saying we're in ruins, what do the next verse say? It says we're in repair. He starts to put things back together again. And how? Well, now this gets really wordy, okay? So I'm sorry for the little ones, but the rest of us tune in because this is exciting, okay? He saved us through the washing of rebirth. He gives us a new life. And then we got some stuff about how he does it with the Holy Spirit that he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, so that having been justified by his grace, having been forgiven, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. A new home. You see, I want to show you this morning that as we come to this book of Ezra and we look at this mini story of God changing things from ruins to repair, it's going to teach us loads about God's kindness to us as he changes our world from ruins. Can you do that with me? From ruins to repair. As he brings people to have new life through Jesus, and he promises us a new home with him forever. So the Ezra story has loads to teach us. And it's not just got lots to teach us about kind of what God's up to in his kindness, but it's also going to teach some of us here how God can use people like us as part of his giant ruins to repair story. But before we finish, I just want to make this a bit more personal for a moment. So we've thought about the big story, there's the story of Ezra, the mini story, there's the story of the Bible, which is the big story. But actually, can I make it personal for you for a moment? Because as we read the story of Ezra, it's actually going to teach you about your story. It's going to teach you about the story of your life. The Bible tells us that every single one of us in this room, whether we are young or whether we're old, actually starts life in, can you say this with me? In ruins. Whoa. The Bible says that each of us are slaves. Slaves to sin, slaves to Satan, slaves to death. We do things. Do you always do the things you want to do, or do you do sometimes the things you don't want to do? Do you do that? You say things you don't want to say, you think things you don't want to do, so think, and you kind of do stuff you don't want to do, and that's because we're slaves. We do things wrong, and we know we don't want to do them, but we end up doing them. And we're slaves to sin, and we're caught up in this mess, and we're caught up in a world that's full of ruins, and it's hard, and it's miserable, and we wish it wasn't like it sometimes. We find ourselves in ruins. Maybe you're here this morning, and you think, oh man, my life is such a mess. I'm just caught up in things that I didn't want to do, and my life is messy and it's miserable. I just feel like my life is a pile of ruins. And if that's you this morning, then I want to tell you that the story of Ezra contains a great story for you, because it is the story of God's kindness. God's kindness to turn our story from ruins to repair. To give us new life, a fresh start, forgiveness of sins, and to promise us a place in God's forever home. And he does that as we come to the Lord Jesus. See, the Lord Jesus, the kindness of God, took our ruins upon himself at the cross so that we could be repaired. And so can I ask you this morning that if you're in this story, have you yet asked Jesus to repair you? Have you asked Jesus to turn your ruins into repair? To start that journey of putting things back together again? You can do that even this morning. So, the book of Ezra. You still with me? Let's dust it off. It's going to be a great book to look at, okay? It's a story of God's kindness, of turning things from ruins into repair. And as we look at this mini story together, it's going to teach us loads about God's kindness to us in turning our ruins into repair. So let's pray together, and then we're going to sing that song one more time. Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to say thank you this morning for your kindness to people like us. People who have often not loved you and not listened to you and have sinned against you. Father, we deserve to be in ruins. But thank you that your kindness, your unfailing love, means that you sent Jesus into this world to repair us. You sent Jesus in this world to give us new life and to give us a hope of a home with you forever. Father, praise you for this story of Ezra. Please, would it do us good as a church family, as it reveals to us more of your kindness, that we might love you more and understand more of Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen.